North Rock Podcast.
All right. Well, good morning, North Rock. How's everybody doing? We're good? Hey, can we just give the Lord a clap of applause for the five people that gave their lives to the Lord, baptized for the very first time? Come on, don't hold back. We can't even cheer for the Broncos today. There we go. Yeah, no reason to contain our voices. We don't have the Broncos to cheer for this week. If you'd like prayer about your disappointment in that, we're always available here, okay? Hey, again, so happy to have you guys here. We are in the midst of a series here at North Rock called Soak. And it's really talking about how it is that we can kind of create rhythms in our lives that bring structure to live out the abundance that God has for us. Does that sound like a good thing to do in January? I know a lot of people in our culture like to do New Year's resolutions. I'm all for that. Setting goals, trying to get our lives back on track to accomplish the things that we have as dreams in our lives is an important thing. But the beauty of following Jesus is that he's already given us abundant life. That he's given that to us, and really by setting rhythms for our life, we find a way to kind of pull ourselves out of ruts that we can get into in this world, right? Anybody ever fall into a rut in this world? Yes, just ruts that don't get us where we want to go. So over the weeks of this series, we've been talking about how it is we set spiritual rhythms, right? That we're at church, we know we're going to do that. We're going to talk about fasting. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about how to guard our time so we can have devotions and really dig in the Word of God, meditate on it, and see God show up in the midst of our lives, right? But we've also talked about the importance of setting the rhythms. Pastor Andrew did a fantastic job last week talking to us about the rhythms of confession and repentance, right? That the good that comes from that is that we experience more of what Jesus has for us, right? So the idea, the concept is simply this. The way that we access more of God in our lives, how many of you guys could use more of God in your lives? Oh, is that we simply soak in his presence. We soak in his word, and he transforms us from the inside out, right? John chapter 10, verse 10 has been one of our key theme verses, and that simply says this, that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, but Jesus' purpose, right, is to give us a rich and satisfying life. Rich and satisfying life more abundantly, life to the full. Okay, so that's what we've been talking about. And this week, I have the privilege of talking to you about how it is that we can steward these physical bodies of ours in a way that allows us to absorb and to live out all that Jesus would have for us. Does that make sense to you guys? I know in the scriptures, we have a lot of different verses that talk about our flesh versus the spirit. And I can tell you, that a lot of times the teachings that I've heard have been about deny your flesh and receive the spirit, right? Flesh is bad. Spirit good, right? But today I want to talk to you about our bodies as gifts from God. As their bodies that are built to absorb energy and to really live with energy. How many of you guys could use more energy this morning, right? I'm looking for a little bit right now. Let's see. You got some energy in the room? Good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, that's really what this is all about. Spiritual life, taking care of this body that God's given us so that we can steward the energy that we need to live out fullness of life that Jesus has given us. Okay. So there's a couple of guys named Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz wrote a book called The Power of Full Engagement. Okay. And The Power of Full Engagement is simply this idea. It's the idea, if you boil it all down, is that performance, health, and happiness is grounded in the management of our energy. Okay? That if we take care of this physical body, we have more energy. But it's not just our physical bodies, it's emotional and it's spiritual, right? And so we spend a lot of time talking about the spiritual. I want to talk a little bit about the physical today. Because if we'll do a couple of things, I think that we'll experience more fullness, more energy, and more strength than we have in the past, okay? So the authors basically say that every one of these thoughts, emotions, and behaviors has an energy consequence, for better or for worse. The ultimate measure of our lives is not how much time we spend on this planet, but rather how much we invest in the time that we have, how much energy we invest in the time that we have, right? So they basically talk about four principles of really living a fully engaged life. And that's principle one was full engagement requires drawing on four separate but related sources of energy, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, right? Principle two, they talk about the energy diminishes both with overuse and underuse. Have any of you guys learned that before? Yeah, for me, I'm kind of a type A built person. I'm on the go. And at times, man, it's just like my energy's zapped. But I've also experienced the other side of this where I rest too much, right? And then I get a little more tired than I want to be. That energy has a way of diminishing by overuse and underuse. We must balance energy expenditure with intermittent energy renewal. Principle three is that we build capacity. To build capacity, we must push beyond our normal limits, training in the same systematic ways that elite athletes do. Okay, so before you guys get a little nervous, some of you guys know I coach high school football. I'm not going to pull out my whistle. I'm not taking some weird approach to CrossFit, right? But the truth is that this body that we've been given is a gift, that it represents the Lord, that in some crazy way it reflects his image and his glory to people. And so it's important that we pay attention to that in our spiritual rhythms with the Lord. And principle four is simply this, positive energy rituals, highly specific routines, that's kind of the rhythms piece we've been talking about, for managing energy, are the key to full engagement and sustained high performance, okay? So at this point, I don't think any of us would argue with the fact that the energy is good, that we need it to survive, that in some way our bodies are built to reflect the image of the very God who created us. And so we're going to take just a couple of, 15 minutes here, and we're going to talk about how it is that we can rest our bodies, how we can replenish our bodies, and how we can release our bodies unto the Lord. Does that sound like some good stuff? Worthy of our time? All right, let's pray, and we'll jump into the Scriptures. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for the privilege of coming and hearing your word. Lord, we thank you that you have a specific word for us, each as individuals, as you teach us to follow you and be disciples. Lord, that we're disciplined people in this world that reveal your glory. And so, Lord, we thank you that your spirit lives within us, that really you call us a temple unto yourself. And so, Lord, we bless you and we thank you for the bodies we've been given. And Lord, I just pray for all here today, Lord, that we would hear your voice in the midst of everything that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. If you did not bring a Bible this morning, if you don't have it on your iPhone or you don't have it on your tablet, we've got a great big one up here right behind me, so you can read off of that behind me. But the Apostle Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the idea of treating our bodies as something that's special unto the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." Okay? And then he continues along that same train of thought in chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. He makes another case for this and kind of raises the bar a little bit. It says, "Don't you realize that everyone runs a race? Or everyone in a race runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with a purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body." There's that word again, core word for disciple, right? Discipline. "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Okay? So at this kind of point in the message, I'd like to just give you a disclaimer and say we're probably not training for the Olympics here, right? We're not going to get up. I'm not going to make you get up and do a bunch of up-downs. I'm not going to pull out my whistle and try to get us to go win some medal somewhere, okay? But I think it's important that what we see in the Apostle Paul's words there is that, one, we reflect God to other people, and we are his, right? That we're his, and that in some way we represent him in our bodies, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our lives. So that's why we're talking about this today. The other reason we're talking about it is because of that fact that in the church, a lot of times, we're taught to deny our flesh, right? That's okay, your flesh, bad. Keep reinforcing that, right? When the reality is, we need to deny the lusts of the flesh, but we need to take good care of the flesh we've been given. Because guess what, folks? It's all we get. I've tried taking it off. For 20 years, I've followed Jesus. The stuff, you can't get it off of you, right? That is the housing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's something that I believe the scriptures make a case for being beautiful, for being good, for being a positive part of our lives. So Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16 make a good case for that. Simply says, For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So why is this important? It's important because we live in an incredibly stressful world. In a world that has a way of kind of getting us off of our mark, right? In a way that we run at such a frenetic pace that if we don't choose to set the rhythms of our life to rest, replenish, and release our lives to the Lord, we can just get chewed up, mowed up, and break down over time, right? It's important because he calls our bodies his holy temple. It's the place where he resides. And in some crazy way, it's a sacred site that God delights to dwell in. Amen? So God redeems our whole self, right? Not just aspects of it. Not just my spirit, but my whole life. And the way that I grow in his ways and the way that I develop as that reflection of who he is simply by soaking in him, slowing my roll, and hearing the Holy Spirit through Jesus as he leads us. Amen? So the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is resting our body. Okay, you guys ever hear this concept called sleep? Huh? Sleep, it's something we're supposed to do in between, you know, sun coming up, sun going down. Actually the other way, right? After the sun goes down until the sun comes up, we should be sleeping. And there's a lot of science that says that most people need somewhere between 6 and 8 hours of sleep. So this is what I'm going to say. Get some sleep, just not while I'm preaching, okay? Take care of that when the sun goes down, all right? So we got to sleep. And we can't underestimate the benefits of sleep. Another way that we can rest our bodies is by practicing Sabbath rhythms, okay? You guys are here on Sunday because you're practicing a Sabbath rhythm. For those of you that don't know the word of Sabbath, it simply means a 24-hour rest period between 24 hours in each week, right? It's a chance for us to not just slow things down, which I need because I'm a type A built kind of a guy. I go, 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 right? But I also need that time to stop, to rest, and not just slow down, but to stop, right? To rest, to reflect on all that God would have, to delight in him, and to contemplate what it is that he's asking me to do with my life, where he wants me to go, how he wants me to live, okay? And I'd like to suggest today that it's not just physical that brings energy to our life, that we've got to steward our emotional lives too, that we've got to make sure that we're stimulating ourselves intellectually, and that we're experiencing renewal through social means as well, right? You guys ever hear of a guy named Pete Scazzaro? So Pete wrote a book called, he's a pastor, New Jersey area, wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Churches and Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And so the whole idea behind that is that our energy and our ability to really reflect and be all that God has for us to be is important that we pay attention to our emotional life and our spiritual life. So if you'd like just kind of a baseline on kind of how you're doing emotionally, because that's another one of those places that we draw energy from. He's got a website called emotionallyhealthy.org. If you'll go there, there's a little survey of, 52 questions. Gives you kind of a baseline for maybe some areas that you want to pay attention to help benefit from the energy that we're supposed to be, that we're able to walk around in, okay? So that's the idea. We can rest our bodies by sleeping, Sabbath rhythms, and reducing stress, right? Any stressed out suburbanites in the room? One. Yeah, two honest people in the whole church? Is that it? Come on, right? We're stressed out people. We're going, right? So we can reduce stress in a lot of different ways, but a couple of them are simplifying our lifestyle, right? Sometimes we just try to do too much and too short of a time, and we just stress ourselves out, okay? By practicing saying no to some of the least important tasks in our lives so that we can say yes to the most important, right? So I want you guys to just say with me, no. Now, see, you can do it. Way to go. Give yourselves a hand. We can say no to some stuff in this world, right? I don't have to do everything that comes up. And then probably the most important for me in de-stressing and kind of resting my body is in the idea of exercise, right? Exercise. Whew, man. Painful stuff. You know, I got to confess to you a little bit today. I only made it. I've worked out twice this week. My goal is three times, so... Everybody say boo, pastor, right? No, you don't say, no, don't say that. Come on, right? But the second one that I did this week was a little exercise called a booty yoga. I can tell you it wasn't my idea. And for those of you that are in the room that have never heard of booty yoga, it's not B-O-O-T-Y, it's B-U-T-I yoga, okay? And it's kind of a mix between yoga principles and cardiovascular kind of workout. And I can tell you right now that I stand before you probably the most sore I've been in my life in a decade or two. Okay? It's painful stuff. But it's worth it because when we discipline ourselves, we see the results of what we want, right? So, again, working out, physical exercise, those rhythms can look like anything based on your age and stage of life. It can be as simple as taking a walk after dinner, going on a hike with your family members, jogging, whatever it is you like to do. But if we'll do it, we'll find that our body actually rests better after that physical exertion of pushing ourselves a little bit, okay? Second thing we can do is we can replenish our body, and that's the idea of self-care, right? You guys remember a little word called fun? That kind of stuff. The things that we enjoy in life is a way of practicing self-care. And as part of that, eating habits of a balanced diet is a good start, right? Do you guys know that on our plates when we go out to dinner, they put that beautiful steak that I haven't been able to touch since we started our fast? But there's a steak, and then they got this green stuff all around it. See, I always thought that was just for decor. You know, they're just trying to dress up the steak for me. Turns out it's actually vegetables, and they're good for us, and they help us kind of balance out our diet sometimes, right? So that's a good thing. Eat a balanced diet. Drinking 64 ounces of water. You guys can see I'm practicing what I preached this morning. Okay, 64 ounces of water helps our body just function better. Self-care piece of it is not just the fun, but I want to ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you gave yourself permission to go see the doctor? You know, those things they call physicals. Apparently, there's a word before that say annually. Annual physicals, right? Doctor, dentist, those kind of things. It's important for the self-care side of our life. If we want to maximize the abundant life that Christ has for us, we got to take care of this body, and that's a great way for us to do that. Okay, the third thing I want to talk about under replenishing our body is a mind stimulation with appropriate intake, right? Now, I got to admit to you, I'm a guy that likes movies as much as the next guy or gal, okay? In fact, just this past weekend, I took Joey to see a movie. My choice probably wasn't the romantic comedy that she would have appreciated, right? But we went and saw it. But I also take time to read, right? I like going to the movies, and I like sitting in front of that TV watching football, kind of mind-numbing, zoning out, go football, right? But when I take time to read and stimulate my brain, I find that I'm experiencing more and more of the life that I know that God intends me to have. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says it this way. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. All right, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So if we'll read a book, we'll take a class, we'll start a degree. Maybe for you it's finish a degree that we started a long time ago. If we'll do that, we'll find that our body replenishes a little bit better. Okay? And then the last one I want to talk to you about is hobbies and recreation. Now, I know I'm getting right up in your business today, right? Talk to me about what I'm eating, talking to me about, you know, seeing my doctor. Can I just make this proclamation that God intended us for us to enjoy the lives that he's given us? That hobbies and recreation are something that I don't practice with near enough frequency, and it has kind of an emotional drain on me. But last week, I took a good step towards that. I took one of our pastors from the Western Slope up skiing. And, you know, truth be told, it's the first time I've been on a mountain in over 20 years. First time I've been downhill skiing. Praise God, I'm standing here today. I don't have, you know, a big brace on my leg. No one got hurt. They got in my way on the slopes. And I can tell you that while I was on that mountain experiencing the grandeur of who God is in his creation, I felt more alive. I felt more of that euphoria. So maybe for you it's not downhill skiing. Maybe it's something else. But the idea is that we don't want to spend our hours and our days and our lives on this earth just banging away and not enjoying the gift of life that God's intended for us to have. Amen? We should enjoy abundant, more than we expect, life. Okay. By the way, I do need to say, because I can see all you guys judging me out there. I can see all the fellas in the place about that booty yoga comment. I did that because my wife asked me to do it with her, okay? So I was being a good husband, and now I'm hoping when I get home she'll be a good wife and rub out all the pain that I carry in my body right now, right? So, yeah, the final part, yeah, just say no, right? Just say no. So the third way that we can really maximize the energy that we have afforded to us is to release our body. Now, the idea behind releasing our body is simply that we give over our appetites and our temptations to the Lord, right? I mean, that's really what the Apostle Paul was talking about there in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, right? Saying it's not just our body, it's his, that he's given us, and so we need to discipline it, we need to treat it in a way that's worthy of a relationship with Christ, right? That as we do that, we receive wisdom and the fruit of the spirit of self-control, okay? Tell you one of the best parts of this fast is it's an opportunity for me to tell this belly of mine, you're not in charge. You're not my God, right? Saying as much as I want to go eat that, I'm not going to because I'm abstaining from that for the purposes of praying and trusting God for breakthrough, getting that word of revelation for me both personally and for this congregation for this next season, right? It's a chance for us to tell our fleshly appetites, because we all have them. We can't separate ourselves from them, that they're not in charge, but rather he is, right? That he's given us his life, and that's the life that we want to live, amen? So with that said, I just wanted to talk about this whole idea of disciple or discipline for another minute, and then I'm going to ask, actually, let's just have the worship team come up. But in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 16, it says that the Lord, your discipline is good, for it leads to life and to health. You restore my health, and you allow me to live. It's a good promise to pray. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, really makes the illustration of my booty yoga and the pain that I'm feeling right now kind of come to life. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, for the Lord disciplines those that he loves, that he punishes each of us as he accepts as his child. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing what they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us. Isn't that a good word this morning? That his discipline is always good for us. It's never intended to harm us, so that we might share in his holiness. That no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in that way. Amen? So as we take time to transition into what we call our transformational kind of takeaway, it's a time for us to worship the Lord and to reflect on our own lives, to build time into our services, to not just hear a good message, but to really talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what are these areas are you asking me to grow in? Because we all know it's not by our strength, it's not by our might, but by His Spirit that we make advancements in these areas, right? My prayer for all of us is that we would experience the abundance of the Lord, the great promises that He had, the more and better and best that we have yet to experience. So as we worship, would you just do some time with the Lord, and then I'm going to come up and close our service in prayer. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, Lord, to be refilled, to be replenished, to rest from the daily grind in this world, Lord God. And Father, we pray that as we participate in the rhythms of grace that you make possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be people who lift you up high. Father, that we would truly live out abundant lives in ways that inspire others to hear you, to seek you, and to live with you. Lord, I pray for us as a congregation today. Pray, Lord, that we would rest in you, that we would be replenished by you, and that, Lord, we would release our very bodies to you. And as we do so, Lord, we thank you for the abundant life that we experience together. Maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, you've talked a lot about abundant life. You've talked about this relationship with Jesus. But I've never had an opportunity to say, that's what I want. I've never had an opportunity to receive him as my Savior and Lord in my life. If that's you here today, first step on a long journey with him is simply by acknowledging it, raising your hand. And I promise never to embarrass you, but it's a chance for you to respond. It's a chance for you to begin that walk with him. If that's you here today and you'd like to say, I want Jesus in my life, I want that abundant life that you're talking about, would you just lift your hand? Is there anybody here today? Yeah, I see you, sir. God bless you. I see you, ma'am. God bless you. I see you, ma'am. God bless you. I see you, ma'am. God bless you. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you that you give us new life. Lord, that the good news of the gospel is that we can trade in our lives in all of the emotional, physical, and spiritual mess that we tend to make of them for your perfect life. So Lord, I pray for those who are responding today that they would know you, Lord, that they would live through you for the rest of their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross to pay for our sins and rose from the dead 3 days later so that we could experience the fullness of the life that you intended for us. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.